And if you want to turn there and just be prepared, we're going to be crossing the Jordan. I thought about this coming into this season and into this Sunday. And I know this is tied into the glory days, and it's attaining the glory that God has for you and not waiting until you get to heaven. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be powerful when we get to heaven. But I tell you what, I'm going to be living my glory days here because I serve a faithful, loving God. And what He has done, He has already done for me to experience His blessings and His love here in this place. I know I'm going to get it when I get to His place. And even though I'm not there with Him now, He's with me because Jesus left and sent the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is with us, and the Spirit is with all of us as we've accepted Him, and He leads us and teaches us and guides us, and we know that we've got a oneness with God even on this side of heaven. And so God wants to bless us. God wants to encourage us. God wants to be there for us. Will all of our days be happy? Will we get everything that we pray? Will our health totally be happy and we won't have to go to the doctor for this next year? All these things that come up. And I will say, no, there could be situations come up to where you need different things taken care of. It wasn't until I stepped out with the things of what God asked me to do by quitting my job that about 2 or 3 weeks into it, one of our major appliances in the house went on the blink and went kaput. I had just enough understanding to realize I didn't blame God. I realized that machine, it was made by man, and what man makes fails. I understand that things wear out. Now, we understand also that God is a God that can extend things, and there's stories where people have had a refrigerator, a washer, a dryer that's lasted 30 or 35 years. You know, so God does those things too. So we can't discount these things as they get older, but I'm just saying that as things happen. And so I had just enough of the word and understanding, and Pastor Hoblin was in things that I was hearing here at Believer's Faith at the time of faith and speaking things out. I just believed. I said, well, Lord, I don't know, but it's your problem. I don't know if it was the washer or the dryer. One of them just like, oh my, great. Back in my old days, you know, B.C. before Christ and B.W. before the Word or whatever, you know, I would have just been frustrated. Oh, man! Had I been employed at my secular job and that happened, I probably would have taken a different attitude. Ooh, I can't believe this. Great! Great, now we got to spend a repair bill. Now we're going to probably buy something. But because of in His flow of things in my life and at that time and even today now, as those things happen, I just look to Him and say, well, how are you going to take care of this, God? How are we? I'll do whatever I need to. I'll help within this equation. You know, I'm not going to say, well, you handle it and I'm going to sit on my duff and you figure it out. I will say, Lord, how are you going to take care of it, and what can I do to help you? Do you need my help? What am I to put towards this? How should I apply myself into this situation? Realizing that, you know, I might have to apply 1% of myself and the 99.99% is God. But God wants us to put some things into it. I think God says, you know, we've got to have some skin into the game to a point. Now, there's other times that we don't. And those are just a miraculous healing and a manifestation of God's presence and His love for us. We can not do anything and the prayer is answered, right? And there's other times we pray and there's other times that we've got to do a little bit for it to all fulfill. So we've got to find that mind of Christ. We've got to find that level of, okay, Lord, what is it that I need to do? What do I need to do? And He will speak to us. He speaks to me, and I'm sure He speaks to you if you'll listen. And there's testimonies here today of people that could share, not only what Ina shared, but there's just a multitude of things here in people's lives that God has done. But now as we look at today and we're getting into 2016, remember about 3 weeks, two or three weeks before Christmas, I was like, not that I wanted to discount Christmas, but I thought, let's get through Christmas. I want to get into 2016. I want to get where God is wanting us to go. I want to go where God is saying it's ready to go. We've got to that point where God is saying to many of us right here today, many of us here today, God has said it is prepared and it is ready for you. It's there for you to take. Whatever it is, whatever land, whatever obstacle, whatever thing that's in your life, you need to understand that God is going to make that way for you to get through that. If you trust Him, if you listen to Him, if you obey Him, and then you will achieve the things that He has for you. Great stories in the Bible tell us that. The greatest, well, not the greatest, but one of the greatest is this of Joshua and going over the Jordan. And we're going to look at this and how this affected the people there, but I also believe it can help us today. How many here want to cross over? How many here need to cross over? How many are saying, you know, I am kind of like in this wilderness area, but I'm ready to go further with what God has for me, and I'm going to go with everything I got, with all the gusto, you know? Someone I shared a couple weeks before Christmas talked about there are some here today that may still be in that bondage land of sin is still holding you down. Sin is still holding something upon you, your past, whatever it is. You're there, but you're not there. You're moving in the right direction, but we've got to go further in that direction. And to leave the past to the past, the sin that you've had, that you've asked Christ into your life, that you've said, wash this sin from me. I repent from this sin. I repent and turn from it, Lord. You've got to believe that, amen. You got to believe that God has heard that, and that God has responded, and God has said, it's done, because Jesus died for that. Remember we had talked, or maybe I was sharing something else. It's like, you know, the birth of Jesus primarily was to come and reconcile us back to God and to take the sin from us. Healing and strength and prosperity and joy, those are all great things that come with that package. Amen. But Jesus came to reconcile us, to bring us back to God. For God made a way. For God so loved the world that He gave. He so loved you that He gave. So that's, and as you can tell, some people probably came in today going, it was just Christmas last week. What did Pastor do with all the flowers? We have no inkling of it was just Christmas. Where's the Christmas? The manger. But it's like, you know, let's just praise God. Hallelujah. The birth of Jesus. I love you, Lord. And we had the story and we went through the Christmas experience and we went through Advent and all the preparation. But it's one of these things now. It's like, okay, guys, it's time to go. It's time to develop. It's time to open up yourselves into the things that more that God has for you. I want to go into Joshua. We're just going to quickly look at chapter 3, talking about Israel's crossing the Jordan. And you can read it, and let's just start out a little bit here. And I don't know if we'll read the whole chapter, but let's kind of get into His Word. Let's kind of stir the Word up in us, amen? Let's read His Word. There's nothing wrong with His Word, is there?
No.
Sometimes it's better to read His Word and let the preacher shut up. I'm going to shut up. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came, I think it's like a Shittim or something like that, Shittim or something like that is Hebrew, but anyway, they came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and had lodged there before they crossed over. So here they are, they're getting there, and now they're lodged there before they cross over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest of the Levites bearing it or carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, or I think that's about 1,000 yards. Do not come near it, that you may. Remember, I'd shared some time back about how familiarity with God. Sometimes we get so familiar with God that that's not good. It's good, but it's not good. It's one of those things you got to, here again, allow the Spirit of God to move into you to help you understand those things. But with the ark, it said, don't come very close to it. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Boy, there's so many things to stop at, but let's just keep reading. Joshua said to the people, sanctify, or set yourself apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. And so they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'm sure that had to bring comfort to Joshua. You shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of your Lord, of your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and you get into all the ites. Hittites, Amorites, Jebusites, just all the ites, and we hear stories about them. Verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be what? Cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. And so it was. And so it was. When the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, and they rose in a heap very far away, about 20 miles away. Now we're going to get into that too. At Adam, the city that is beside Zaretan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabath, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. And it goes on, and you can go into four as far as what these priests were standing there, and then the 12 stones and the 12 tribes, what they did there. But to begin, and we read through that scripture of Joshua chapter 3, we may not be actually crossing a river in 2016, but you may have some obstacles in your path that God has said to cross over to get to your promised land. Do you have a promised land? Now, if you don't realize that you've got a promised land, you're not going to go there. You're going to stay right where you're at. A lot of people say, oh my gosh, I've been in the wilderness for 45 years. Well, why? Why? You're actually following the true story of 40 years? Just, I'm just out here. God's providing. God's taking care of me. You know, manna and this and that. But there's more to God. Say that. There's more from God. There's more from God than just meeting your daily individual needs. There's more in God to give you the things, the desires of your heart, the things that you need, the things that you require, the things that, yeah, we all need this, we all need that, but he's going to do some supernatural things for you. He's just going to pour out his blessings as we are faithful in the things that we give him and do for him. Talks about that in Malachi and our offerings and our tithes and sowing, you know, and a special offerings and things that we do. A lot of that is tied around money and things that we do, but we find that that's probably one of the closest things that touches our heart. As we sow, how many here carry around, you know, seed corn in your pocket? How many carry around planting corn or different seeds to plant, you know, green beans and vegetables and all that? But, you know, we look at as we sow our seed of finances into God's kingdom, there's a return on that. And it's only a way that God can really speak into the lives of people is through the things that drive us. And so he opens up windows, it says, in heaven, windows of heaven, in heaven, and pour out blessings that you can't contain. So that tells me that my God is a giving God. And my God is not stingy. That my God is there for me. But as we get into this, our challenge for this new year of opportunities that God has for us is to say to ourselves and to say to God, I am crossing over. I am going to go through to reach what you've already prepared for me in 2016. And you know what? I'm just going to throw it out there. If you don't reach it in 2016 and the Lord shall tarry and keeps you going, go for it in 2017. Amen. But keep going. And that's where our walk with God is anyway. I mean, we will not arrive until we are called home or until Jesus comes back again. And so while we're here, we're to continue going. We're continuing to go take ground. We're to continue to share the gospel. We're to continue to be all that God has asked us to be and to fulfill the call that He's got on all of our lives, of the gifts and the talents that He's put in each and every one of you to do something special into His kingdom for His people. Wonderful people here that sit here. Many of you, the talents and the giftings that God's put into you and how they've been used here at Harvesters Church. And this next year, they're going to be used even more as God allows it and God puts things into us. Well, we're going to reach what God has prepared for us. Now, it'll take fully relying on God and to trust Him for all that He has already accomplished or prepared for us. Now, for some of us, this could be easy, and for others of us, it's going to be a struggle. And it's just a time of growing and developing. It's stretching your faith muscles, whatever it is we want to call, you know, faith as muscles, building out, working out these things. But it's going to be, for all of us, and some a little easier than others. And I tell you what, for those that are maybe struggling with it at times, maybe that's where we are to come as the body of Christ, and we surround them with encouragement. We surround them with prayer. We stand in the gap with them, or we encourage them, and we do whatever it is to say, come on, Randy, it's going to be okay. I know there's a struggle right now, but don't give up. God's got something put into you, and it will come to the top. It'll come to what God wants. And so it might take the rest of us every once in a while just encouraging Randy or encouraging Lou or Chris or Rick or any one of us that are sitting here as we see things happening. We want to be an encourager, but we also just say, Lord, continue to work in their lives mightily. Show yourself to them as only you can, Lord. I know there's great things in them because your word says that for all of us. And we want to encourage each and every one of us. That's why we're a body of Christ. That's why it's good to come to a church service. That's why it's good to be hooked into a local church. TV churches are fine. TV pastors are fine. But there's just something about coming into the body of Christ where you can see one another, touch one another, hold hands, pray, look into the eyes, and be an encourager. Amen. In Colossians, it says this that we read, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. So as we are going into this time of this season, this new year, it tells us in so many areas of the word, but let's look at that and just, I'm going to read it here. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. We have moved into where we're at, into the kingdom of what His Son is. Amen. Christ has done that for us. I want to read right here, if I can turn. 51. Okay. It says, Promised Land people believe this. They trust God's hold on them more than their hold on God. They trust God's hold on them more than their hold on God. What's that say? That tells us that God's hold on us is a lot firmer and a lot more steady than our hold on God. Because we sometimes hold on to God and then we let Him go. Hold on to Him, let Him go. But God's always there. He'll hold you. They place their trust, and this is the Promised Land people. That's when you start believing that God's hold on you is more than your hold on Him. They place their trust in the finished work of Christ. They deeply believe that they are delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son. That they think that Jesus was serious when He said, My children shall not perish in John 10:28. My children shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that good to know? As a child of God, Jesus, He's there. We're holding hands. Nothing will snatch you out. Now the devil may try, circumstances in the world may try to pull you and try to grasp you and jerk you out of the hand of God, but it will not happen if you're committed to Him and you truly rely upon Him and your attention is to Him more than it is to the world. When those things happen and something in the world wants to kind of pry between you and Him, hopefully your spirit, the spirit within you, will be connected to the Holy Spirit and there'll be an inkling in your thoughts like, uh-oh, this is not good. I'm sensing that I'm stepping a little ways away from God. I'm sensing that, oh, this life that I'm in, my job, my career, my bank account, all these things are seemingly becoming more important. I'm looking and putting more faith into them than I am into Him. Well, I'm doing that because that's what the world tells you you got to do. Well, stop listening to the world. Listen to God. Trust God. He will be there for you. But my children shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So, we'll kind of go back and forth a little bit here on some things. Now, during this time that Joshua has been given this message about you're going to cross over the Jordan, it came at such an opportune time. The Jordan was the shallowest. It was the narrowest. I just lied to you. It wasn't. What does it say? You will find at that time of the season, it was harvest time. At that particular time of the season, the Jordan was running as deep as it ever was going to run. It was running as wide as it ever was going to run. And it was running as fast as it ever was. You know that. The more water into a stream or a river does what? We've got flooding, tremendous flooding going on down south through the Mississippi and tributaries and all these things. And you look at the towns as the water level rises, that begins to be such a turbulence and such a rushing amount of water that it's uncontrollable. It's got a mind of its own. It's going to carve out and go where it wants to go, right? The water level goes up. That's talking to a brother yesterday. He was talking about a few years back. They were down in the Ozarks, and one of the lakes down there. They got Lake of the Ozarks and Tamaco Lake or something like that, and now I've lost track of it. But anyway, there was such a heavy flooding at that time that the guy said at the boat marina, he goes, I can't let anybody out on this lake because, you know, they released the river or the water in the lake up north of us, and it's flooded into our lake. Now ours is at the top of the dam where it's going, and, you know, I let people out on the lake, even though you're not close to the dam, you get into a current to where your motor doesn't work or something happens to your boat, and that flow of the water is just going to take you over, and the dam's not going to stop you because now the water is like 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 feet over the dam, so you're just going to keep going. So we're looking at this, and this is where we're at with the Jordan. The Jordan is at most months, and actually, you know, in the normal, when it was normally running, would be at about 30 to 40 yards wide and about 6 feet deep. Well, that's not too bad. 6 feet or so here and there. We could find a lower spot than that, maybe, to cross over. Not a big deal. But now, when Joshua gets his orders in 3:15, you find out that the river is now about a mile wide. About a mile wide. And now it's going to say, we're going to cross at this time, Lord? Can't we just stay camped on this side until after the harvest time and the water gets back to normal? It wasn't just a few or even several hundred people either. You know, you're looking at not just a couple of hundred or 1,000 people going through. How many people were looking at going through this crossing? 2 million. 2 million people. To me, my mind is already tilted. My mind is already wanting to negotiate with God. My mind is wanting to say, well, God, I'll do it, but let's wait. My natural eyes see things that naturally happens in this time of the season. And Lord, I think you can take care of us on this side of the Jordan. We'll just camp and do what we need to do, and we'll get ourselves ready for, 5 or 6 months down the road or 4 months when it's a little bit better for us. And we can understand, maybe we could do it then, when the river comes back into its normal banks. But that tells us that when God usually tells us to do things and prepares things for us, it might be at a time to where our natural senses look at things and do what? This is crazy. This is the wildest thing I've ever seen. I don't know. I've had a few Jordan crossings. How about you? You know, my wife is in the back here. I would imagine back in when I said, honey, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm quitting Walmart and I'm going to go into the ministry and I'm just giving it all up. Why did I say that? Because God at that time said, it's now. I sensed in my spirit, it's like one of these things. It's like I talked with him preparation time, and I'm not saying I'm Joshua, but any of us hear from the Lord if we will. If you want to hear from God, you will hear from him if you open yourself up to him. If you search him out, if you read his scriptures, if you meditate before him, if you sit still and ponder things that he's got for you, and you begin to sense a change in your life, you will sit there and say, Lord, I need this. Lord, show me this. Lord, am I sure of this? Lord, is this what I'm hearing? Lord, is this you? Lord, you go through all the gamut of all these things, which I did, but it came to the point where all of a sudden I felt like he said, it's now. It's like, Lord, I want it. I've said this before. I wanted another five or six, 8 years with the company I was with, and then I could retire at a fairly good level of time where I was at, would be at 25 years. I said, Lord, my plan will do this. I see the possibility a lot better by this way than your way. Because I was beginning to put myself into my calling the shots. I began to try to negotiate with God. I imagine Joshua could have done the same thing. Let's cross that a letter another 3 or 4 months down the road. Let's wait, Lord, and we'll do it then when I see it a little bit more attainable. Let's wait, Lord, before I leave my career and all the stability and all the finance and all this that we built into all that to where I felt a little bit more comfortable. But God says, it's go. It was like, boom. I don't know how my wife put up with me. You know, praise God, we hit 40 years of marriage December 27th. But that was back at a time with 4 kids still at home, 4 kids still in school. And I said, it's time to go. I don't know. It's something that you can't even hardly share with anyone else that they even understand. But there's something when God says that in you and you hear it, and there's a peace that comes within all of that. I'm sure Joshua had a peace about all that. Yeah, those that are around him. Could you imagine what? Now, come on. Joshua's telling them all this, and they're sitting there beside the Jordan, and now it's at this level, and it's rushing, and it's turbulent. They're camped there for 3 days, right? And they're beside this. Now, anybody that has camped out and camped by a stream or a river, you can normally, what? Hear it. At night, you're in your tent, and you're not a bad thing to hear, I guess, when it's kind of like normal. But it was like, it's like as I began to look at this and think about this, it's like, so God brings them up to the Jordan on this side, and he says, okay, camp them out for 3 days. I want them to see it. I want them to hear it. I want them to perceive the treacherousness or how that river's flowing. At night, they heard it. In the dark, could you imagine what that sounded like in the dark? Rushing water. Daylight comes, not only do you hear it, and this is one of the senses, I'm not even off my notes now, but one of the senses, they're hearing it, the next senses, they're seeing it in the daylight, and they got 3 whole days to ponder that. Now, do you think those 2 million people, do you think there's maybe 1 or 2 people out of that 2 million that said, this is crazy? Joshua, are you sure you know what you're doing? Are you sure you heard from God at this time? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And Joshua had to remain faithful, and he said, God said it. Go through Joshua. Just circle or underline the times that God said, and then 2 or 3 verses down later, Joshua said. God said to Joshua, 2 or 3 verses down later, Joshua says to the people. Joshua was following God, precisely what God was dropping into his spirit and telling him what to do. Joshua was obedient enough to say, okay, I trust you, I'm doing this. God had a time with him to where he built that relationship, and Joshua knew. And then, you know, he took it and ran and told the people. Joshua knew so much in his heart. He had just a peace, evidently, that it's like, okay, this is what we're going to do, guys. You can read it through many times of the, you know, preparation and going over. And, you know, you look at Jericho and all these things that Joshua was just like, what? What a great guy. God spoke it. Okay. Okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. Listen to me. And they followed it. So anyway, we find that this is happening. And that there's more than just a few hundred. There's 2 million people that he's got to get across to this stretch. And the thing is, when we get down into it, and the story tells us that when the priest, when they stepped right into the edge of the Jordan. Now, let's go back. Now, the Levitical priests, they were the ones charged from the very get-go out of Exodus and all about, okay, you are going to be in charge of the Ark of the Covenant. A couple months back, somehow the Lord was pulling me into this Ark of the Covenant and that familiarity thing and all that, but don't touch the Ark. And some people do that, and we find out what happened to them. But anyway, the Ark of the Covenant was a very sign of the things of God. And so that Ark of the Covenant, prior to that, God led them by fire and by cloud. Once the Ark of the Covenant came into existence, once God put his stamp of direction on that, it was like, wherever you see that Ark go, what are you to do? Follow it. That's the Lord. That's God. Follow him. And he placed the Levitical priesthood, the Levites, they were the overseers of that. So anyway, but now you got these people, and now they're the ones that Joshua is telling them, okay, here's what's going to happen. You guys, you're going to take the Ark, all four of you, or however many it took, maybe four, one in each corner. And you're going to see that water out there that's running? Yeah, I know it's wide. I know it's deep. Don't worry. Hey, but here's the story, you guys. Here's the plan. I got a plan. You walk. And so now you got the priests. They're carrying this thing, and they're walking, and they're getting close to the water. Now, I wonder what's going through their mind. They're like 10 feet from it, 5 feet from it. Maybe let's start back. You know, they're 30, 20, 10 feet from it. Joshua says, as soon as you step into that raging river, boom, it's going to stop. Okay, let's do it. And could you just imagine that? So they're carrying this ark and they're just walking to it like nothing, like, okay, we're doing it, man. God is here. We're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. God's with us. Are we like that today? When God's asked you to move, when God has asked you to go, when God has said, do, are we at that level to where we say, oh, that's my God. I'm going to do it. Yeah, but look. Yeah, but I'm going to, my God said to do it. My God said, if he's for me, who can be against me? If my God says he'll never leave me nor forsake me, why do I have to worry? Why do I have to fret? We got to get to that point in our time with God that we are strong with him and he's strong with us. Remember, it's not the times that I'm holding on to God. It's my realization knowing that God is holding on to me. And he's not going to let me go. It says in his word that nothing will snatch me out of the hands of him. Amen. Amen. And so that gives us that encouragement. That gives us that ability to say, I'm going to go with my God. I'm going to go all the way with him. I'm going to cross over whatever it is. I'm going to see better things. I'm going to experience better things. In this 2016, it might be some adversities there. There's a water there. There's river rushing. There's this I got to go through. Whatever the case might be. But if my God has said to go, he's going to make a way. Amen. Says in his word, where there seems to be no way, he makes that way. Amen. Why does he do that? Because he wants to show you that when you trust him and you follow him, he's going to do the miraculous. When you see that happen, you're going to know that it's got the stamp of his hand on it because nothing else could explain it. When that thing happened where the Jordan stopped flowing, it wasn't like, well, I guess Joshua sent some guys 20 miles upstream and they started putting a dam in. That's why we had to wait here for 3 days. They had to go up there and try to build a dam real quick. Man had to do it. No. Joshua just listened to what God said. He shared it with the people. The people trusted it, and they said, okay, we're going to go. And they did. Now the guys are carrying the ark and they're getting up to the edge of that river and they step, and as soon as their feet, their heel, whatever it is, do you think the guys in the back are saying, I'm sure glad I'm in the back of this. Yeah, take it. Go. No, it's your turn to lead. I'm in the backside. Go ahead. Da, 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 da. You know? And the guys in the very front, they're probably going, oh boy, here we go. But as soon as their soles of their feet hit that water, God did the miraculous. God showed up. God fulfilled his promise. God said and did what he said he would do. God will do that same for you today. God will be that same God in 2016. We look at this story that happened way, way back, even before the birth of Jesus. But Jesus came to bring us into this level of understanding as well, and to bring us in that reconciliation with God. But we know that even today, that we might have to go through some things that are into some things. But we've got to believe that if the Lord tells you that, Tim, as soon as you step out in faith, as soon as you step out in what I've told you to do, any of you, put your name in there, whenever I've asked you to do and you step out in faith, Don't look at the things surrounding you. Don't look at the natural that would hold you. Don't look at your retirement plan. Don't look at your health insurance. Don't look at your whatever it is. Don't look at any of that stuff, because if you begin to focus on it, it'll sidetrack you. It'll take you from what I've got for you. And I'm not saying those are bad, and I'm not saying that you don't need those things, but I'm saying don't let those things drive you. I'm just saying that when God says to do something and it contradicts the things of the world, praise God. He's going to do those things. It's not the common thing that God does. It's the supernatural. It's the things that only He can do. And then when we put that stamp on it, we say, "Whoo! How did you know to do that?" And it's like, because God says to do it. And what my God says, He's faithful to complete it. So these guys, they're bringing that ark, and as soon as they hit, the water stops. Now here's the next thing, guys, and we read through this, and I don't know where I'm at. I'm kind of off my notes here, but let's just walk through the story. We're kind of walking through this. It wasn't even muddy. Wow. Isn't that amazing? They step into the river. It stops abruptly. It stops not just, you know, sometimes when you think about it, you go, okay, when they stepped there, it stopped maybe 10 foot wide. No big deal. But that thing stopped 19 or 20, whatever miles, upriver from them. Well, go figure. Can you imagine trying to get 2 million people through about 10 feet? So, got some miles, you got some width there that 2 million or so are crossing over. And then, well, here's the thing, too, as you read into 4, you've got the priest, they got the Ark of the Covenant. Now, they're walking, and when they get halfway out there, they're to stop. They just, oh, wait a minute. Clicker. Let's take a look at this. Okay, so they're crossing the Jordan. Here they go. Look at that. Piece of cake, guys. Woo, look at the guys on the side. They're like, hey, how's this work? Is this thing working? I can't see it. Do you see it? I don't know. But look at that. All the other people are on the banks. They're probably giving them, yeah, go for it. Go for it. You go. You make the way ready for us. You know, they're like, you can do it. Go ahead. You know. All these people are standing off like, I don't know, this is just a portrayal of a picture. But now notice as they step in, it's showing here, as soon as they step in, it's starting to part. That water is going to be, I don't know if that actually happened. We just know that it happened. We just know that it just stopped. So we got them, and they're going in there. And then what happens, they get out there in the middle. Now, you know, that's even further, it should be further up or whatever. Maybe that's the south side. I don't know what it's showing there. But we know that actually it was like 19 miles further up that the water actually stopped. So maybe that's the other side, I don't know. But you see what happens, though. They go in, and the priest, they have to stop. They stop in the middle. If I was them, I'd say, okay, I'll go in, and I'm getting out of here as soon as I can. I'm going to walk fast, man. Like, yes, but they took that, and they stopped. And then you get into 4, you'll find out then that's when Joshua told them to take, you know, 12 leaders, and each one get a stone, 12 stones, and then where the priests stopped, you build that pillar of rock to as a testimony, as this is the spot. They say it's still there today. But anyway, here's the thing. They're there, and that water stops, and it says in our word that there was not even mud. Now, how does that happen? How can something be flowing for so many years and so much for that time, and it can abruptly stop, and yet now it's all on dry ground? You think about it, the people crossed over and they got over to the other bank, and they're looking around, they're going, man, wouldn't it be neat to have that for some of your kids, or even some of us big kids before you go in the house, that you don't have any mud on your feet? It's like, wow, I got to use that here, Lord. But they walk on the other side, and no mud on their feet, their garments aren't wet, you know, they had like animals, and there's nothing there on their hooves. They got wagons. The wagon wheels are clear, clean. It's just like they went through, and they did go through on what? Dry ground. Well, awesome. Oh, my goodness. My watch must be jumping ahead on me. It can't be 12 o'clock. This is too good. And it gets gooder. Now, goodness, Tim. We'll just stop here in just a minute. What I guess what when I read that, and did you see that where it said, you know, they camped on that side for 3 days? You know, whenever you hear certain numbers, it's amazing in the Bible. There's a thread through numbers and things, and I'm not one of those that can understand all of that. And I don't try to commit a lot to memory, but I do know when I hear three, I think of my Lord, you know, was he rose on the third day. You know, there's significance in how God programs things and put things through it, really, there is. And so I looked at it and you thought about this and you, when I was reading, and it's like, to them, you know, that was kind of like what the Israelites, and they saw that, you know, that water separating and walking through. They saw the hand of God. They saw something miraculous happening. That was like their cross experience. They saw something supernaturally happening that provided for them, that took care of them. So then we fast forward through some things here, and we find that the three-day thing. So just quickly. Pardon? Yes. The spies. 3 days in the mountains. So all this thing is building. So I thought, 3 days. And I said, the people pitched their tents, and I didn't read that on the page here, but I'm going to fast forward past it. Note that 3 days later, they broke camp and they crossed over the Jordan. They were delivered into the promised land after waiting 3 days. Another 3 days had occurred somewhere in the history of the Bible, and or the stories of the Bible, and that was one of them when Jesus rose from the grave, giving us the following. And so I looked at that as far as seeing how God's hand of provision was there and taking care of his people and gave them something that they didn't work for. They just had to be obedient. They just had to follow what Joshua said. They had to listen and say, okay. But let's look at this real quick. Another three-day occurrence was with Jesus. And when he rose from the grave, he gave us this. Number one, the kingdom of heaven has come to earth. Sin was destroyed. Lives are created new. Jesus on the cross. We cross over that Jordan. We cross over into these things. And wherever we're at, remember there's people dealing with things that they're still holding in bondage. There's others still in the wilderness. And there are some even here today that are in that promised side. But some things that occurred, some things that we received from the 3 days when Jesus rose on that third day. The kingdom of heaven has come to earth, sins destroyed, lives are created anew. With the resurrection, death has been conquered, and after our physical death, we will be raised with Christ forever. Thirdly, because of the resurrection, it gives the churches the authority to witness into the world. The resurrection assures us that assures us that Christ is alive and ruling in his kingdom. And so you begin to look at some of these things. And I, because look at that as far as when the Israelites were crossing over and all what that meant to them. And that was, maybe that was their moment of like that of the cross, you know. And the cross was yet to come, and that was for us. But they were seeing the hand of God move mightily. And so they went across that. And now, where do I want to go to here? There's so much more that can come out of this. And I would encourage you just kind of read through Joshua a little bit there, 3 and 4, and just whatever the Lord brings into you. But as we read this and we looked at the crossing, you know, they had crossed one other time that God had prepared, and that was the Red Sea. Remember that when they're coming out of bondage? They were going through on dry land there, and held up the waters just enough for them to safely get through it, and then the waters came back and drowned those that were chasing them. So now we got the Jordan, opens them up, and they're going on to this, getting them into Canaan, that promised land. Let the cross convince you. Be settled about God's faithfulness. In one of the Psalms, the writer described a person of faith with these words: he is settled in his mind that Jehovah will take care of him. Psalms 112:7. Life has many unanswered questions, but God's ability to save needn't be one of them. Let this issue be settled once and for all. Look at you. There's no mud on your sandals, no water on your robe, there's no sin on your record, there's no guilt attached to your name. Let there be no doubt in your heart. If God did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, will he not also give you all you need for a promised life? Romans 8:32 kind of pulls that scripture, not spare his own son. Join the chorus of the confident and declare, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ our Lord. Rest in your redemption. The past is the past. The future is bright. God's word is sure. His work is finished. You are a covenant partner with God, a full-fledged member of the Promised Land Development Program. You know, I shy away from timeshares. These organizations that say, hey, you got three days and two nights to come down and just stay, and all you have to do is go on a tour. We want to try to sell you something. But we are in a better process of a Promised Land Development Program. Think of this. The Jordan is behind you. Canaan is before you. A new season awaits you. 2016. Woo! Wow. The new season awaits you. And that's my encouragement for all of us today, that this new season that God has given to us is there before us. And be ready to cross over. And when a time comes, be ready to go. And to know that he will prepare the way. Amen?